darkness firm, dare to make it known.
On the morning of Monday, 30 September 1894, 34 passengers made their way onto a sail-powered boat that would, on a normal day, have taken them on a leisurely trip over to Grangeover Sands, which was located on the north side of Morecambe Bay, Cumbria. But what should have been a day of fun and enjoyment would quickly escalate into a day of tragedy. Departing from Morecambe Promenade and the Princess Sailing Company landing stage at around 10 o'clock in the morning, the passenger list comprised of a large contingent of holidaymakers who had travelled over from Burnley. The Matchless was a small fishing vessel, commonly known as a Lancashire Nobby, and it was used for fishing during the winter months and for pleasure trips in the summer. 17 years old, the Matchless was roughly 33 feet or 10 metres long, and it weighed around 5 tonnes. It also contained a mainsail, foresail, topsail and a jib. Operated by its owner, 54-year-old Samuel Houghton, who was an experienced skipper with many years of sailing, and after departing from the landing stage, the vessel wouldn't take long to reach a stretch of water just off Silverdale and approximately 6 miles from where they had departed. The passengers, who by now were in a merry mood and singing, "Dare to be a Daniel," were oblivious to the impending danger that was fast approaching. Moments later, the Matchless seemed to slow down, and to the right, the water had darkened slightly. One of the passengers said to Houghton, "I think we have stopped altogether." And then there was a lull, with the waters becoming still but very dark looking. Out of nowhere, a huge gust slammed into the right side of the vessel, filling the sails and pitching it from left to right. And in no time at all, another gust struck from above, followed by a sudden squall, this time throwing the passengers into the water, leaving them with no time to grab onto anything. The Matchless began to rock from side to side before finally succumbing to the wind as she keeled over. And as for the frantic passengers, they tried desperately to keep themselves afloat, and it would only take a few minutes for the Matchless to disappear beneath the water. Just over 100 yards away was Edward Gardner, a fisherman of Morecambe who was also sailing his boat with 17 passengers, taking the same route as that of Samuel on the Matchless. Having just crossed over a junction in the channel and making headway towards Grangeover Sands, Edward himself felt the gust of wind as it hit his boat. Looking over towards the direction from where the wind had originated from, he admitted to thinking to himself at a later inquest that the next breeze would be of an ordinary breeze and did not think much about it, so he never altered the course of his boat. He would later go on to mention that the wind was akin to that of being like a whirlwind, first crashing along one side before rounding his boat and hitting it head on the opposite side. However, whilst he had managed to control his boat, he would see the Matchless pitching over and disappearing into the sea. Instinctively, he turned his boat around to make haste towards the panic-stricken passengers in the water. In total, he helped to recover 6 passengers who were alive and 1, unfortunately, who had died. All around him were bits and pieces of the Matchless floating on the water, with passengers trying and hopelessly clinging onto them. Another witness, that of Joseph Wilson, who was also a fisherman, was also close by, around half a mile from where the Matchless was. And just like that of Edward Gardner, after witnessing the carnage unfolding in front of him, he turned his boat around to offer help. Other boats that were also in the area had by now also turned around to offer assistance. Passengers from the other boats which had arrived to offer help, they held out their hands from all sides, trying desperately to grab hold of the unfortunate people who were struggling violently for assistance. In total, just 7 people would be rescued, 3 men, 2 women and 2 children. 2 bodies pulled from the water would include 1 man and 1 woman. As for the rescued, one of them would be that of Samuel Houghton, owner of the Matchless. After circling the area until it became apparent that no further aid could be given, 2 boats returned to Morecambe at around 1:30, bringing them with the full horror of the tragedy. The first notion that something was wrong appeared when the seemingly lifeless body of a young woman was brought ashore opposite the People's Palace and later transported to the nearby Bath Hotel. She was followed almost immediately by a boy and a girl, both who were partially conscious. Panic prevailed, with messengers being sent to fetch for the help of doctors and medical staff. As for the young woman, the efforts of Police Constable Johnson, a cab inspector by the name of Lamb, and a fisherman named Adam Woodhouse, who persevered for around 3 hours in trying to keep her alive, would successfully bring her around, and if it wasn't for their help, she would most certainly have died that afternoon. Meanwhile, search boats had left the bay to try and recover the bodies of those still missing, and it wouldn't take long before the first of them returned, bringing back with them several bodies which were later transferred over into the changing rooms of a football club situated just behind the King's Arms Hotel, which had been turned into a temporary mortuary. The search would go on late into the night, and local police were also sent out in small parties towards different points to examine the sands once the tide had receded. Up until midnight, only 4 bodies had been found, with just one being identified. Relatives and friends, all concerned on the whereabouts of those who were still missing, they remained close to the mortuary throughout the night. They were all anxious to know the fate of those close to them. A yachtsman who had been out searching would pick up 9 further bodies. He had to wait a further 9 hours before he could return, due to the state of the tide being too far out and therefore making it impossible to reach the landing stage at Markham Bay. Upon his arrival, all 9 bodies were transferred to the makeshift mortuary, and they were identified by those still waiting to hear news of their loved ones. At 9:30 the following morning, the coroner's court opened, and in total 16 bodies, with one exception, had been identified. And up until the late hours of Tuesday, 4th of September, no more bodies would be recovered, apart from that of an unknown man who, it would later emerge, was that of 27-year-old Fred Newton. A committee meeting of the local board was quickly set up on Tuesday, 4th of September, during which it was decided to start a fund in aid of those who had lost someone close to them. The 9 members of the board, together with the clerk and surveyor, each donated 1 guinea, and it was agreed that sheets would be placed on the promenade to collect donations towards the fund. The inquest into the tragedy took place at the King's Arms Hotel and before Mr. Lawrence Holden, coroner for the South Lonsdale. He was joined by a representative jury, of which Mr. John Lee, chairman of the local board, was foreman. Superintendent Brining, Inspector Hodgson and Police Sergeant Petch were also present. Joseph Hamer was one of the first witnesses to be called. He was a carter from Ramsbottom, and he would identify the body of 54-year-old Samuel Brooks as that of his uncle. He would also identify the body of his aunt, Miss Anne Williams, 51 years of age and the widow of a tailor. Stuart Watmore from Bradford would give identification on that of the body of his 24-year-old cousin, Joseph Fawcett Carter, a reporter working for the Bradford Observer. Other witnesses came forward simply to identify the bodies, with John Heaton identifying the body of 55-year-old Wright Shepherd. But more upsetting was that of his father, also named John Heaton, who was 51 years old. The last to give evidence was that of John Clegg, a weaver from Burnley who identified the body of Edmund Clegg, a cotton overlooker, aged 50, as that of his father. Clegg would also identify the body of John Parkinson, overlooker, 36 years of age and also from Burnley. And with no other witnesses available to identify other bodies, the inquest would be adjourned till 9:30 the following morning. The next day's inquest would turn out to be one of great concern and anxiety, especially for the families and friends of the passengers involved in the tragedy, as it would be an extremely quick one at that. Several witnesses were called, including that of James Boothman, just one of the survivors of the Matchless. He would go into detail as to the events that transpired on the Monday. He would also go on to tell the jury that no lifebelts were in the boat and he had somehow managed to stay conscious throughout the ordeal. Another survivor, that of Benjamin Robinson, who was sat next to Boothman, spoke of standing up on the mattress to stretch his legs when suddenly a gust of wind took Boothman's billycock, which was a cap, and then the boat was over in an instant. Police Inspector Hodgson deposited that 16 bodies had been recovered. 9 persons were rescued and there were still 9 missing, namely Alice Greenwood, aged 38, Arthur Clegg, aged 4, Mary Alice Webster, aged 26, Edith Webster, aged 5, Florence Carter, aged 23, Sarah Whitehead, aged 42, Fred Whitehead, aged 14 months, Elijah Monks, aged 60, and finally, Eliza Ann Heaton, aged 14. In what seems to have been a rushed inquest, after further witnesses had been recalled, including Edward Gardner, Richard Gardner, Joseph Wilson, and that of Samuel Horton, and after an hour's adjournment for luncheon, the jury, after just 10 minutes of deliberation, returned a verdict of accidentally drowned. Now, the foreman of the jury wished to exonerate Samuel Horton from any carelessness or blame. The jury also promised to recommend certain things to the Board of Trade, such as to limiting the number of passengers to be carried in each boat and making the provisions of life-saving appliances in such boats compulsory. The jury wanted to also draw the attention to the heroic conduct of all the boatmen, especially those of Edward and Richard Gardner, and they asked the coroner to recommend them to Royal Humane Society for a medal. After the close of the inquest, most of the bodies were removed from the temporary mortuary at the football club and taken to their respective homes. A hearse had already been engaged for some time conveying the bodies. They were encased in neat-looking pine coffins with brass and other fittings, and they were conveyed to the local railway station. Many were accompanied by relatives and members of the relief committee, by whom the arrangements were superintended. A hastily arranged memorial service was held at St. Lawrence Church and led in part by the Reverend W. H. Disney. On the 12th of September, the Markham Local Board Committee held a meeting, primarily to discuss the recent tragedy and how instances of this could be prevented in the future. And during the meeting, it was agreed upon by the committee members to close the fund, with the amount collected reaching £236.11.09, around £19,407.74 in today's value. The committee also agreed that whilst the fund may now be officially closed, they would still accept any future payments. And on Saturday, the 29th of September, the Lancaster Guardian published a short article regarding the Burnley Disaster Relief Fund, saying it had reached nearly £600, which is equivalent to £49,229.58 in today's value. And this was regarded as being a very credible effort. This figure would eventually raise even higher and reach over £700 by the end of October. Whilst the Markham Fund was used to fund coffins and the transportation of the bodies to their homes, the Burnley Fund was used for the most needy of the families and the relatives of the Burnley victims. This article would also mention the names of two other victims that were still undiscovered, Alice Greenwood and Arthur Clegg. Now, Arthur Clegg, who was aged just 4, would be discovered on Monday, 1st of October, as would the body of Alice, who were both picked up by local fishermen. Other bodies would eventually be recovered from varying number of areas around the bay, with some being as far away as Ulverston, and in total only 16 out of the 25 victims' bodies would be discovered within the first 24 hours of the tragedy. As with the other victims whose bodies had been found days after the tragedy, an inquest will be held at the King's Arms Hotel, with the jury being practically the same as that which had served during the 3 previous occasions. Unfortunately, not all of the 34 passengers who had been present on the match list during that fateful day would be found within days of the tragedy, and it would take several months before the final victim would be named, that of Mrs. Florence Carter, whose body would be found washed up on the Grange on Monday, 14th of January 1895, some 5 months after disappearing beneath the waves. She was just 23 years of age. It seems that the haste and speediness of the inquest also angered the families and friends of the victims, as it never gave them time to make arrangements to travel and to hear the outcome. It has since been written that the inquest was simply a total whitewash, as the foreman of the jury was the chairman of the local authority. And because of this, there was a certain interest in maintaining the town's reputation as a safe resort for travelling tourists. The survivors of the matchless that day were Ben Briley, 7, from Burnley; Ben Robinson, 47, also from Burnley; Betty Brooks, 58, from Ramsbottom; Elizabeth Walker, 25, from Burnley; Esther Clegg, 47, Burnley; Fanny Briley, 9, Burnley; James Boothman, 23, also from Burnley; Samuel Horton, 54, Markham; and William Milner, 53, Skipton. A list of the deceased is as follows: Alice Greenwood, 38, from Burnley; Anne Ingham, 43, also from Burnley; Anne Williams, 41, she was from Ramsbottom; Arthur Clegg, aged just 4, from Burnley; Dick Whitehead, 17, also from Burnley; Doris Carter, aged just 2, Bradford; Edith Webster, aged 5, Skipton; Edmund Clegg, 49, Burnley. Elijah Monks, aged 60, from Bolton. Eliza Ann Heaton, 14, Manchester. Florence Carter, aged 23, Bradford. Florrie Robinson, 15, also from Burnley. Fred Newton, 27, from Liversedge. Fred Whitehead, aged just 1, and possibly the youngest of the victims, from Burnley. John Heaton, 51, Manchester. John Parkinson, 36, Burnley. Jonas Webster, aged 50, Skipton. Joseph F. Carter, 26, Bradford. Mary A. Webster, 26, Skipton. Samuel Brooks, 54, Ramsbottom. Sarah Hargreaves, 59, Burnley. Sarah Robinson, 45, Burnley. Sarah Whitehead, 43, Burnley. William Brierley, 41, the final victim from Burnley. And Wright Shepherd, 55, from Bolton. So many thanks for listening to the latest story. We hope you enjoyed it. It's yet again another day of horror in the true sense of the phrase. But we do hope you enjoyed it nevertheless. It's a sad tale indeed, with many, many people losing their lives. If you did like it, don't forget to comment down below. If you've heard this story before, let me know down below in the comment box. In the meantime, as I always say, take care, look after yourselves. We will be back soon with another tale from our past. There is also links down below to our social media platforms such as Instagram and Twitter. And also, please don't forget about the Helmshaw Rail Crash Memorial. Again, I'll put links down below in this story. And if you can donate to that memorial fund, we would really, really appreciate it. I think we're up to about £230 out of the £1,000 target. We're hoping to hit the target at least by August this year, so any amount you can donate will be really appreciated by myself and my wife Victoria. Thank you for listening, take care, and I'll be back soon.